from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Thursday, May 21st, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. In a stunning decision, the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization's board voted Wednesday night to rescind its support for the public-private partnership to build toll lanes on Interstate 77. The vote will end the state's plans to build toll lanes on one of the state's busiest highways. Steve Harrison has this report.
After months of mounting opposition from residents, the Charlotte City Council last week took a surprise 6-5 vote to end its support for the toll lanes. That was a critical decision, but the ultimate power was with the regional board. On Wednesday, Matthews Mayor John Higdon pushed board members to take an immediate vote because he was worried toll lane supporters would convince someone on the Charlotte City Council to change their mind and go back to supporting toll lanes. The city controls more than 40% of the votes on the CRTPO board.
If somebody, one of those people in Charlotte, and I'm not questioning their veracity or their compassion, but if one person changes tomorrow, we can't vote, or we can vote, but it will not be rescinded, ever.
The vote to rescind wasn't on the agenda, so it needed two-thirds support of all CRTPO members. During the roll call, the CRTPO attorney initially announced that the motion had failed, but the board attorney then realized Higdon's motion did pass, with the support of Charlotte, Davidson, Cornelius, Huntersville, Mint Hill, Monroe, and the Metropolitan Transit Commission. It's unclear what will happen next. The DOT has said it can't build the toll lanes without a private company to finance them, so the current project is dead. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
After nearly 6 hours of public testimony and debate on Wednesday, the South Carolina Senate Judiciary Committee has sent a redistricting bill to the floor. The State House has already approved a new congressional map that would effectively end the only Democratic district in the state and split Fort Mill and Rock Hill into different districts. Republican lawmakers want to get the new maps to Governor Henry McMaster ahead of the holiday weekend. The State Elections Commission executive director said if the new maps are approved, it would cost the state up to $6 million. The Senate is scheduled to begin debate this afternoon. Early in-person voting in South Carolina begins Tuesday. Mecklenburg County commissioners were largely supportive of County Manager Mike Bryant's proposed $2.6 billion budget at a meeting Wednesday. The budget includes a 1.8% increase and fully funds Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools' nearly $700 million local funding request, but does not raise property taxes. Commissioner Arthur Griffin said he was awed when he first saw the proposal last week.
I'm sitting in the auditorium with my granddaughter. And I said, this guy made an elephant dance.
Can't hear you.
I said, this guy made an elephant dance.
Commissioner Elaine Powell asked Bryant whether future years will also include significant cost of living raises for employees to match inflation. Bryant's proposal raises the lowest paid county workers from $20 an hour to over $25 an hour. Bryant said he hopes so, but can't commit to that.
But it is indeed my interest to be the standard and make sure that we continue to pay a living wage to all our employees. I just don't know what the future is going to entail. So I don't want to be on record of saying each year when the cost of living go up and the living wages go up, that the county is going to move along with that.
Commissioners are expected to approve the budget in the coming weeks. The Mecklenburg County Sheriff's Office says it will reopen its second detention center, known as Jail North, due to overcrowding at its Uptown Charlotte jail. Our Julian Berger sat down with Sheriff Gary McFadden for an exclusive look inside. He tells us what he saw.
The sheriff's office says more than 2,000 people are currently being held at the Uptown Detention Center, with nearly 300 sleeping in overflow areas. Jail North previously served as the county's juvenile detention center. It closed in 2022. McFadden previously said reopening the facility was unrealistic due to staffing shortages. WFAE asked what makes this moment different.
There is a crisis. There's an emergency. We're going to sacrifice. We're sacrificing our staff now. We're going to sacrifice my staff to aggressively hire people.
After our interview, McFadden walked through the detention center. He showed an overcrowded pod designed for 53 people. 81 were inside. Nearly 30 plastic beds lined the common area floor. One person living there said bathroom access and phone use are limited because so many people are assigned to the same pod. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
As the Charlotte City Council considers a moratorium on building new data centers, the Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners heard a briefing this week on their impact. Commissioners said they're uncomfortable with the water, power, and land that huge data centers use, but said there's not much they can do to block them. Elaine Powell said the issue is especially pressing as water scarcity becomes a bigger issue. Data centers can use millions of gallons of water per day to cool servers.
I know there might be some positive, but it's like hard to find. And so I'll just start with drought.
County staff said there are 18 major data centers operating in Mecklenburg County now and interest in building more, including on unincorporated land in South Mecklenburg County. North Carolina Insurance Commissioner Mike Causey is being accused of sending inappropriate text messages to a former staffer. According to the Raleigh News and Observer, April Taylor, who left the department in March, said the 75-year-old Causey sent messages she found to be inappropriate, like telling her to watch out, quote, "I might jump your bones," and, quote, "Don't let me catch you in the room alone." The newspaper reports he also repeatedly texted her, quote, "See you in dreamland," most recently in September. In an interview with the News and Observer, Causey acknowledged texting Taylor to discuss work, but said he has no memory of sending the alleged texts. Gastonia police say a man experiencing a mental health crisis has surrendered peacefully after firing multiple shots from inside a home near downtown Gastonia Wednesday morning. The incident prompted a large SWAT response and nearby school lockdowns. Police say 23-year-old Khalif Bigelow fired toward surrounding homes before officers used tear gas to end the standoff. He now faces multiple charges, including assault with a deadly weapon with intent to kill. Hundreds lined up Wednesday morning for the opening of the first phase of the Catawba Nation's Two Kings Casino in Kings Mountain. The expanded facility is said to include more than 1,300 slot machines, table games, sports betting kiosks, and new restaurants. The full resort, including a 24-story hotel, is expected to open next year. Weekend campers are arriving at Charlotte Motor Speedway this week ahead of Sunday's Coca-Cola 600. The event honors fallen members of the military on Memorial Day weekend, and NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott, says it's great for the sport and fans.
I think NASCAR, for all the things that we do, that is one that they've always gotten right. And I know Charlotte Motor Speedway has had a big hand in that too over the years. One of the best experiences throughout the season that I get to be a part of, and you know, really, really proud to say that you're a part of that show, I think is really cool.
That race is Sunday night at 6. As of now, a combination of rain showers and thunderstorms are in the forecast. This weekend is the unofficial start of summer, and just in time for the Memorial Day holiday, Lake Lure is reopening. It's been closed since Hurricane Helene hit western North Carolina almost 2 years ago. The Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter looked at what the reopening means for the area, which is heavily dependent on tourism. The Ledger's Tony Macias spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
Remind us what Helene did to Lake Lure that's caused it to be closed for about 20 months.
Yeah, Marshall, Lake Lure, which is about 90 miles west of Charlotte, was hit harder than a lot of communities because really, you know, the lake is the center of the community. And when Helene came through in 2024, it dumped all kinds of sediment. There were photos of boats stacked up on each other in the harbor. People there weren't able to use the lake. And as the name suggests, I'd never really thought about this, but the lake is the lure. The number of visitors fell 75% or so. The town's revenue fell 50%.
Just how important is tourism for this area, and what are you hearing from businesses there after almost 2 years of devastation and rebuilding?
Well, Lindsay Banks from our team at the Charlotte Ledger talked to the mayor of Lake Lure, and she said all the businesses are open, but they really need the people coming back. And so Memorial Day is the start, traditionally, of the big tourist season in the mountains. You couldn't use the lake, you couldn't go boating, you couldn't go kayaking. Now some of that is reopening. The lake is really the centerpiece of recreation out there. It's a beautiful spot. People in the town are just really looking forward to having the tourists back.
Back to Charlotte now and the city's appearance in the current season of Top Chef. It actually cost a hefty fee to have the show film in the city. Just how hefty? And is that typical?
The Charlotte Regional Visitors Authority said that it spent $1.2 million in a fee payable to Top Chef so that Top Chef would highlight Charlotte and use images of Charlotte and project that image to people who are watching the show. These sort of arrangements, they do seem like they're becoming more common. When these television shows come, not only do they want incentives for the production and the jobs, in many cases, they want a little bit of a fee in order to showcase the place that they are highlighting. You might remember that the Michelin Guide last year sort of did the same thing. They took money from some of these tourism groups in order to come in and rate the restaurants. Some media come and say, well, we can highlight your area, but it's going to cost you.
Over to East Charlotte now, where a wall-breaking ceremony was held recently. I think everyone knows what a groundbreaking is. What is a wall-breaking?
Yeah, well, this is a little bit different. Spark Centro, which is an economic development hub on East W.T. Harris Boulevard, celebrated a wall breaking. The idea is basically they're not building it from the ground up. It's an adaptive reuse. They're taking an existing building. So rather than breaking ground on a new building, they're literally breaking down walls within the building to rearrange the space. And then they're also figuratively breaking down walls that are maybe barriers to entrepreneurship and success in small business. It's a hub that's designed to help with workforce development and entrepreneurship, support small businesses, that kind of thing.
Finally, move over, Hugo, Sir Purr, and Sir Minty. There's a new sports mascot in Charlotte. Who is it?
Yes, watch out for Sassy the Sasquatch. Carolina Ascent's new mascot. Carolina Ascent is the women's professional soccer team. They're in the playoffs. They rolled out a new mascot last weekend, I guess hoping to propel the team to success in the playoffs. It is a purple and blue mascot, and we'll see if Sassy can lead Carolina Ascent to success on the soccer field.
Okay, Tony, thank you.
Thanks, Marshall.
That's Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. Support for Bizworthy comes from the Law Office of Robertson & Associates and Central Piedmont Community College. And for Thursday, May 21st, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.